It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
The pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 102. Big news. Is Scotland about to become independent?
So I can confirm today that next week I will seek the authority of the Scottish Parliament to agree with the UK government the details of a Section 30 order, the procedure that will enable the Scottish Parliament to legislate for an independence referendum.
Nicola Sturgeon holding a press conference at Bute House announcing that the Scottish Parliament will hold a vote asking to get a Section 30 order which allows them to hold another independence referendum. What this means is that the Scottish government can't hold an independence referendum without the Westminster government giving it. Now, I have plenty to say about it, and I'm not going to say it here because Solas, like my church, doesn't hold a position on it. Although, forgive me saying this, there are churches that do hold positions. I was quite amused, and I'm please don't take this as a denominational dig, but I was quite amused that the Church of Scotland announced that it was neutral on Scottish independence, but that the Lord apparently wanted us to be in Europe and wanted a second independence referendum. Theresa May was not to block it. Now, my Bible, the Bible I read, doesn't say anything about Scottish independence and so on, and we're not going to come on here and tell. We'll discuss things from a Christian perspective, but we're not going to say to people how they should vote or what should happen. But we are interested in this because it could be incredibly disruptive. Now, I'm going to make a prophecy, okay? Not what I'm saying I want to happen, but I'm going to prophesy what I think will happen. I think Theresa May will probably come out and say, yes, you can have your referendum, but not until Brexit is complete. Which will mean it won't take place probably until after 2021, which will mean it won't take place until after there's been another Scottish parliamentary election, which will mean that the SNP will no longer be in complete power. That's my prediction, and if I'm wrong, Al has a box of stones, and you can come around and just start stoning this false prophet.
Right, hang on a minute. I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because at the time of the last independence referendum, you were utterly in favour of a yes vote.
That's true. That's not a secret.
Your position is now changed. Do we want to get into this here? Or
yeah,
not?
No. I'll mention it. This is my position. It's not the position of Solas, and it's not. My position has changed, and I think I want to offer this as an example of possibly of how to do politics, because I think you should be able to change. My position has changed because I don't want to be in the EU, and I think this is a big mistake, and I think there shouldn't be an independence referendum because it will cause a lot of division. And I think it should weigh and all the rest of it. So, I mean, I can give all these different reasons. But I think from a Christian perspective, what I want to say is this, that there is a danger. I mean, already I'm seeing this on Facebook and my Twitter feed. I mean, I want to emigrate for 5 years, I think. Australia, are you listening? Because I just don't want to go through all the bitterness and all the passion and so on. And I'll tell you why there's so much bitterness and passion. From a Christian perspective, when Christians get like that, it's because we're substituting our love for the Lord for a political position. I don't think whatever happens that it's going to solve Scotland's problems. In the EU, out the EU, in the UK, out the UK, I don't think it's going to solve Scotland's problems. And I think unless there's a complete repentance and turning to the Lord, we're stuffed anyway. So I'll discuss these issues from a political perspective, but I'm not lying awake at night, you know, having sleepless nights about them. Our great concern is to communicate the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And whilst we will discuss these issues, it really is trying to look at things from a gospel perspective. And there will be Christians listening to this who be very keen on Scottish independence, very keen on being in the EU, very keen on being in the UK, very keen on being out of the EU, whatever. Work that out yourself, but please never, ever, as I hope I don't, equate your political position with the gospel.
Do you think that one of the reasons why people get so emotional about this decision is actually it's because their sense of identity is tied up in their political view. So when the political views are questioned, it's being taken as your identity being questioned. Because you see that in other areas. You see that in sexual identity. Actually, you see that sometimes from Christians when we feel that Christianity is being attacked.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'll say one thing more on this and then I think we'll leave it, Al, because, yeah. But the one thing I'll say is that, I watched the Butte conference, which, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, was broadcast on YouTube. And of course, like a Facebook thing with all the, you know, the smileys and the love hearts and the sad faces and the angry faces and so on. And it was watching the comment alongside them that made me really, really sad. I mean, there were people saying things like, oh, I'm orgasmic with this. Oh, it's the greatest thing. Oh, I'm so joyful. Oh, I can die happy. And that scares me, actually. That kind of reaction scares me, because when people get disappointed, they're going to get really angry. And when people lose, they're going to get really angry because they'll take it personally. So can I just say to everybody, calm down. Calm down. Definitely. Just calm down. It's not the end of the world. But we can tell you about the end of the world. Let's move on.
Louise Mensch joins us now from New York.
An interview that Andrew Neil did with Louise Mensch on the Sunday Politics. Now, Louise Mensch is a former Conservative MP who's now based in New York and considers herself to be a freelance journalist. And she's been coming out with stuff like Donald Trump's links with Russia, and in particular...
You've also claimed that President Putin had Andrew Breitbart murdered to pave the way for Steve Bannon. This was the man who founded the Breitbart website, to pave the way for Steve Bannon to play a key role in the Trump administration. You then said that Mr. Bannon is behind bomb threats to Jewish community centres. I mean, aren't you in danger of just peddling wild conspiracy theories?
The following exchange takes place.
No, first of all, I haven't. And no matter how many times people say this, it's not going to be true. I said on Twitter in a tweet, I believe that to be the case about the murder of Andrew Breitbart.
Well, that's what I just said.
But it's not a piece of... You believe President Putin murdered him,
don't you?
Andrew, I said, I believe it. You said I reported it. Those are two completely different
things.
Well,
you put it out on Twitter. You said you believed it. And you don't have a shred of evidence.
I do. And indeed, I made no...
What's the evidence that Mr. Putin murdered Mr. Breitbart? What's the evidence?
I said I believe it. I didn't say...
Look, you may believe there are fairies at the bottom of your garden. It doesn't make it true.
I may indeed. And if I say so, then that's my belief. If I say this is, I am reporting, as I did with the FISA warrant, that a FISA warrant exists, you may rest assured that I have a basis in fact for a report. A belief is just a belief.
And she goes on to say these are completely different things.
Belief and a report are two different things, and no matter how often you say that they are the same, they will never be the same.
Now, consider how language is being used. What's interesting about this is not whether the Russians, did it. I mean, fair enough, you want to believe that kind of conspiracy theory, there's not much I can do for you. It may even be true. But it's the way that language is used. So what Louise says is, I believed it, but you said I reported it. I didn't. I just said I believed it. So it's like me saying, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but you said I said that Jesus rose from the dead. No, I didn't. I just said I believe it.
If I report something and I say this happened, then I'm making an assertion. If I describe a belief, I'm describing a belief.
If I say I believe it, it's just a belief. But if I report it, it's a fact. A fact is a fact. A belief is a belief.
Subtlety may be a little difficult for you, but this
I just think that if you want to be a journalist, if you want to be a journalist, beliefs have to be backed up with some evidence.
Really? What do you have a faith?
Now, you see what she's doing. She's taking the idea of belief as in have faith in without evidence. Now, this is postmodern atheistic gone surreal. Let me just take this opportunity to say what the Christian position is. We believe not because of a lack of evidence and not in spite of the evidence. We believe because of the evidence. So when we say we believe, we're not saying we have blind faith. We're saying it's true. I tell you what faith and belief is. It is an action that's based upon trust. It's not saying that we understand everything. It's not saying that we're judging everything. but it's saying we have sufficient evidence to commit ourselves to. And I believe in Jesus Christ, which means I have sufficient evidence, both historically, empirically, within myself, within my own experience, to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I would, and I do, absolutely stake my life on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe that he is the King of kings and Lords of lords. So I just thought it was a really interesting use of how language is used and how Christianity is completely contrary to that meaningless waffle that occurs at increasingly all levels of our society.
Okay, so to Frankie.
Now, Frankie Boyle. Let's talk about Frankie Boyle.
Celebrity atheist. I am an atheist, but I don't like celebrity atheists. I was a very bad Catholic, unless you include my attitude to condoms, in which case I was an amazing Catholic.
Frankie Boyle is one of these guys who you kind of, you just wish, if he wasn't so crude, he would be brilliant. Well, he actually is brilliant, unfortunately. But he is very crude, but he can be very, very funny and very, very perceptive. And he was on a show recently where he was talking about celebrity atheists.
I don't like the judgmental nature of celebrity atheists. I think some religions have done good things. The Quakers fought against the Vietnam War. Liberation theology in Central America. Those people all got killed, standing up for poor people. And what's the reward? To be looked down on by Ricky Gervais. I don't need Ricky Gervais to tell me that God doesn't exist when I watch Derek get recommissioned twice.
Trigger alert. Frankie Boyle is an atheist and he's a celebrity, but he doesn't really push it that much.
You know, we all need something to get through. You know, and why stand in judgment on what other people need? So Ricky Gervais or Richard Dawkins, whoever, they need retweets or whatever they need. and other people need different things. I just feel the whole thing's a bit religious. You know, so it's the idea of certainty to me is very religious. The idea of judgment is very religious.
And I love this quote at the end.
And it's blaming God. It's blaming religion. You know, they go, oh, religion causes violence. Okay, some violence is caused by religion. Some violence is caused by lager. Some violence is caused by people cheating at pool. But at the moment when you go, I'm blaming that on God, that's like you don't get any mayonnaise in your chicken zinger and you blame it on Colonel Sanders.
It's actually a remarkably perceptive thing. Now, you could push it too far and end up with complete deism, well, God made us, and just let it carry on. But the fact is that God has given us freedom. And if we turn around and say, well, why did God let me fall over? Or why did I fail my exams? Or why did my cat die? And therefore, I'm not going to believe in God. Or, of course, much more serious things. We're forgetting the world in which God made us as free beings at one level, rational beings made in his image, spiritual beings, in fact, made in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, and that has become distorted. So, well done, Frankie. And since we're on clips from the BBC, we're back with Tracy Ullman.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for asking me to be Ella's godmother. It means so much to me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for all the babysitting and, you know, walking around the park and everything.
Hey, now, what are neighbours for?
No, seriously, I couldn't have done it without you.
You know, I've never been asked to be anyone's godmother before, and as a Christian, I've always wondered...
Oh, dear.
Told you she was.
Yes, all right.
Is there a problem?
Thing is, we kind of weren't looking at this as a religious thing.
But it is. You've asked me to be her godmother.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't actually mean anything, does it? I mean, it's just a word, isn't it?
We're in a church.
But nobody here is a Christian.
Oh, I think you'll find they are.
Really? But you're not a Christian, are you?
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
Why don't we go for a naming ceremony in the wood, like Sarah and Zach did?
Yeah.
Lucky escape?
Yeah. Bunch of nutters.
Tracy Ullman just gets it so brilliantly. There's a couple and they're coming. And they're coming for a christening or a baptism. And I know the arguments and between adult Baptist and infant Baptist. We're not going there. But as somebody who does practice infant baptism, I do get people coming along saying, will you do the Wayne? And the answer is no. And it's not a christening. It's not making Christian or giving a Christian name to. But it's interesting that we've got this scenario where a couple turn up for a christening, and when Ullman does her as a Christian thing, the response is, "Uh-oh, I told you. Well, we don't really want a religious ceremony." Actually, I think what a lot of people do want is they want a religious ceremony without God, and they want it without Jesus. And I don't know, it's so depressing. I mean, if you've ever been to a humanist wedding or a humanist funeral, I've been to several humanist funerals, and oh dear, they're just hopeless. I mean, really hopeless. Actually, all about humanism. Well, the last one I was at was like a 10-minute advert for humanism before they even got on to the actual death of the person. But oh, just so sad. But once again, Ullman gets it, and what we'd recommend you watch the wee clip, it's from about 16 minutes on the link that we'll give to you. One thing that I want to draw your attention to, and that is a ruling by the European Court of Justice, which upheld a decision that the Belgian court had given, where a woman was suspended for wearing a headscarf, an Islamic headscarf. Now, it's a very, very, very important decision, and I've written about it for Premier Magazine. There's a lot that we could discuss about it, and maybe we'll come to it next week. But I think the key thing is that the decision was based upon the idea that secularism is neutral and that companies have a right to ban religious, political, and get this, philosophical symbols. Now, does that mean people wearing rainbow badges are going to be, or on AIDS Day, or, I mean, is there anything that's not a philosophical symbol in some way or other? There's a whole range of different issues. And I just want to say from our point of view, my point of view is this. I have no problem when I go to my local surgery and the woman who's the doctor is a Muslim and she chooses to wear a headscarf. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And here's just a thought. I think Christianity is much more tolerant in this than secularism. Because secularism, because it doesn't know how to cope and distinguish between religions, it just says ban them all in effect. Whereas Christianity says, no, we don't have a problem. We don't care. I mean, we're concerned about the person. We're not concerned about the symbols. Just a thought. Read the article and let us know what you think. Okay, we're going to finish with something just a little bit different. Well, there was an article on Christian Today which had a number of Aquinas quotes. Now, he's very dense. I am labouring my way through his Summa Theologica. And I mean labouring.
That's a massive
book. It is the most difficult book I've ever read. But there are bits of it that are really fascinating. But I thought these might be helpful for our listeners, some of them. So let me just give you a few of these. And maybe as you reflect on today's things, maybe meditate on these. I thought these were great. Number one, sorrow can be alleviated by good sleep, a bath, and a glass of wine. Number two, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. Number three, how is it they live in such harmony, the billions of stars, when most men can barely go a minute without declaring war in their minds? What a great question. Think about that one. And then fear. Fear is such a powerful emotion for humans that when we allow it to take us over, it drives compassion right out of our hearts. Here's another one. I love this. We must love them both, those whose opinions we share and those whose opinions we reject. For both have labored in the search for truth, and both have helped us in finding it. And I think we'll just have one more and we'll leave you with this and ponder this. Thinking about all that we've been talking about, thinking about people getting worked up about politics and everything else, or sport, or whatever it else that just is upsetting you just now, or causing you joy just now. Think of what Aquinas says here. The things that we love tell us what we are. The things that we love tell us what we are. You love Christ? What does that make you? God bless. See you next week.
Yo. We'll be right back. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.